ride on the crest of a wild raging storm. To work in the service of life and the living, in search of the answers to questions unknown. To be part of the movement, part of the growing, part of beginning to understand.
Back in the 1970s, late 60s and 70s, I used to wait for Tuesday nights because I could not sit still enough when 6:30 would roll around to watch The Undersea World of Jacques Cousteau. I just thought that was the biggest thing I've ever seen. To be able to go under the water and see what was going on there sitting here in Chicago, are you kidding me? I just, long before reality TV, that's what did it for me. It was just a fantastic thing. Every week I couldn't wait to see what the Cousteau was up to, and the guys on the Calypso and all the rest that goes around that. Well, when I got a hold of this book, a friend of mine, Tom Martin, sent me this book called Frogman, and it's about a gentleman who we're going to have her in a second, that when he was 18 years old, his dad kind of shipped him off to the Canadian wilderness to work with the Cree Indians, ends up spending the summer on the Calypso, which any guy that growing up in the 60s that saw that show wanted to be Richard Hyman, that's for sure. He joins me this morning. He is the author of the book Frogman. Richard, welcome to WGN.
Good morning, John. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I've been waiting to get this in this week for sure before the year ends. You know, like I was saying, I get goosebumps every time I hear John sing that song, and I think about this little black and white 13-inch Sears TV that my parents had in their room, and I'd crawl in there and I'd watch the Cousteau show. It was just amazing.
Well, I get the same chills. I just got them listening to it on the radio.
So let's go back to 1973. You're 18 years old. You're just out of high school. Your dad says, hey, I'm going to keep you busy. What happens?
Well, he was going out to L.A. and invited me to come along, so I did. And I'm having dinner with Captain Cousteau and some of the crew members, and they need a truck driver. So they asked me if I'd drive a truck with a Frenchman from Los Angeles up to the Canadian wilderness. And
that sounds like a plan, right?
I accepted, and yeah. One thing led to another, and had a great expedition then, and was actually invited back on several more.
So you're one of the few Americans, because this was this is a very international crew that Cousteau had on the ship. So you're one of the very few Americans that actually put your nose underwater with them.
That's correct. Yes. Typically, the only other American was a helicopter pilot. And there was one other fellow, Joe Thompson, who was an accomplished underwater photographer who was also American. But otherwise, it was typically a French crew and a few other nationalities as well, which made it very interesting culturally.
When did you know you're going to start taking notes? Because what's really cool about this book, it's called Frogmen, The True Story of My Journeys with Captain Jacques-Yves Cousteau and the Crew of the Calypso. You're 18 years old. You know, you're kind of out freewheeling it. When did you know you're going to start taking notes? How did you know that, you know what, this is something I need to record?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm not sure how it came to me, but I actually had a little spiral notebook when I picked it up in Los Angeles and started writing in it, and I accounted for every day on that expedition and the subsequent ones, and that helped me write the book. Otherwise, there's no way I would have been able to have the detail that I was able to write in the book.
It's really interesting, too. You get some really, personal photographs that you took, pictures that you've had all these years. I don't know. I can only speak for myself. And since I'm the host and it's my show, I like this stuff. So, you know what I'm saying? So, I was down there watching this TV show my whole life. And of course, it has evolved. I don't know if that's in reruns anywhere. I don't know if kids would sit still long enough to watch those shows, because now it's got to be, over the top and overblown. And I know that, Jean Michel does a lot of work on television still. I know some of the Cousteau kids and the grandkids are doing their things. But when I opened this book, I was going back to 1973. And, you and I are not that far apart in age. And I'm looking at these pictures of you thinking, it's like living vicariously. Your adventures kind of get a chance when you read the book to kind of go along for the ride.
Well, that's the idea. That's the idea. I resisted trying to write it as a grown adult and tried to keep the voice I had at that age. So that's the way it was supposed to read.
You achieved your goal. Did you guys eat a lot of fish on board? I'm just wondering.
So that's a funny question because, strangely enough, we actually complained that we didn't get enough seafood. We had typically beef and such. We had a cold room where we stored food like that, and we complained. But we would trade for various fish and lobsters and so forth that we might be studying. We would typically trade cigarettes and wine for seafood.
Neat. You know, I know that you talk about this, and this gives me a chance. I don't speak any French. I mean, I always goof around. Way back in the 70s, Steve Martin had an album out. It was like him with the, you know, he had the arrow through his head and all that.
Right.
And he would pretend to speak French, so that's about the extent of mine. I just copy what he said. Something like, j'en zite de la soie à mettre du fromage, which basically translated means, I want a shoe with cheese on it and I'll massage your grandmother. I think that's what it means. But the Cousteau's wife at the time, they called her La Bergère, the shepherdess. She was the one that kind of watched over all of you. And you really allude to her in the book as being like the rudder on the ship for the crew and stuff.
She was. Madame Cousteau, I called her. Madame Simone Cousteau was a lovely lady. She was like a second mother to me. She was the shepherdess on the ship. She really ran the ship. And she wore so many hats. She was a disciplinarian. She was our nurse. She was a mother to all of us. She'd cut our hair. You know, just a wonderful woman.
Mm. There must have been some times, you know, I've read through the book a couple times. Again, go get this. If you're a Cousteau fan or you grew up in the 60s and in the early 70s and you watch the undersea world of Jacques Cousteau, this is something right up your alley. It's called Frogmen. Perfect title for it, because that's what they were. This was the rudimentary early days, even though Cousteau and one of his, I can't remember the guy he invented the aqualung with, but this was still early stages of going underwater, especially with cameras.
It was. And when you were talking about documentaries and so forth, you know, it's amazing how nature photographers have advanced to some really spectacular work today. And Cousteau's old films now, they're old school, but it was the beginning, and I think it inspired people, and it certainly kind of opened the undersea world to a lot of us in our living rooms, and that's what Cousteau wanted to do.
I remember watching a video on YouTube. You should all go take a look at it. It was Cousteau's 80th birthday, I believe, and Ted Turner's there, a very young-looking Ted Turner, and he alludes to the fact that, you know, he grew up really with the industrial military complex in his head and the whole and all that stuff that had galvanized his thinking. And he attributes his environmental work, his switch of the world in many ways, simply by growing up watching those specials than in spending time with Cousteau. Cousteau had that much of a presence.
Mm-hmm. He did. And Turner was a supporter in the latter years of Cousteau's expeditions. But he certainly has become quite an environmentalist.
Mm. Amazing stuff. Listen, if you're a fan of this book, it's easy to get Amazon.com, true?
Yes.
Easy to do that. What's it been like as you've been out doing the author book tour thing, which is really a kick? I've written a couple books, and when you get a chance to go meet people who read what you wrote, especially when you were 17 years old, it's got to feel good.
It feels fantastic. It's kind of, as I say, kind of freaky because it's taking me back to a prior lifetime. It was so many years ago. But it's my passion, and it's wonderful to be able to share it with people. You know, it's funny, John. In my book talk, I show some slides that are set to John Denver's song Calypso, and it's funny because I've discovered that a lot of people have not made the connection until they hear it. They say, "Oh, now I get it. John
really
wrote that song."
They didn't make the connection.
So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Listen, I want you to hang for a couple more seconds, would you please? Because
sure.
I want to talk about what happens when John Denver shows up in a helicopter on board the ship before the song was ever written.
Okay.
Very cool stuff.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains.
Back in 1973... 18-year-old Richard Hyman was on board the good ship Calypso. He wrote a fantastic book about it, his summer on that ship with Captain Jacques Cousteau and the divers and the scientists and the cooks and all the rest of them. And at one point, John Denver showed up on the ship. He just, his helicopter lands. You went and picked him up at the airport or something. What was that, the deal?
Right. John, it's a funny story, actually. This was actually a subsequent expedition. It was in February of 1975, And we were heading from Mexico on Calypso down to Belize, which was formerly British Honduras. And John Denver wanted to join us, and his manager contacted Jacques Cousteau, and Jacques was like, well, how can we do that? There's not a commercial airport and so forth. And they said, well, no problem. John will just fly his own plane down. So John mm-hmm. arrived in his Learjet in Belize. We picked him up, and he came out on the ship for several days. We dove together. He was inspired to write the song and gave us a wonderful concert out on the deck of the ship. Really great a great guy.
You know, it's interesting because John and I were friends for years, and Annie Denver and I still talk at least once a month. I kind of do flyovers to make sure that she's doing well and the kids are doing well and all that kind of stuff. And after spending years and years around John and working with him, I get so much of what I read in there about the time that he was on the ship to me was a real gift. And the fact that he was he didn't even write the song. This song that has sold millions of copies around the world. And that he donated the entire proceeds to the Calypso Foundation, I believe the Cousteau Foundation, all that wasn't even done yet. It wasn't even finished. It wasn't even there until he landed there, spent time with you guys on the ship. And there's actually a page or two where that shows the handwriting of what these verses are and the lyrics are to that song that had become famous all around the world. It had to be really interesting for you and cool to see this take shape.
It was, and to be totally honest, it was kind of an interesting way for me to meet John because I didn't really know his name. So I heard this fellow was going to visit us, but I wasn't familiar with him, and I got to know him. We spent a lot of time together talking over coffee, and I'd be up on watch on the bridge, and he'd come up and visit and ask questions. So he was kind of thinking through in his head, looking for thoughts and inspiration. And that yielded the song.
Truly amazing stuff, which went number two, I believe, in 1975. So he gets off the good ship Calypso. He runs into the studio. He puts it on an album called Wind Song. The album goes within the top 10, and I think Calypso came to number two. And so, again, within 6 weeks or 6 months for sure of being on the Calypso, everybody around the world singing this song, which took its gestation from spending time on the ship. It's fantastic stuff.
Yeah, and John, he also filmed a segment of the concert he gave us, mm-hmm. and that was part of his television special.
That's where those images came from.
Yeah,
okay.
He won an Emmy for that show.
Yeah. You know, go back to you being on watch. I have this image of a young raw-boned kid in the middle of the night at, like, 2100 hours sitting up there on the bow of this world famous ship with a crew that's sleeping underneath, and it's your job to keep watch. What was that like?
Well, it's quite peaceful, actually.
Yeah.
But you do have to be on watch for a variety of things, ships that might be heading in your direction, potential fires, even pirates. We did have one night when some people came aboard and stole two outboard motors. So you have to be vigilant.
How did this? We only got a couple minutes left, and I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're on. Were you at Virginia?
I am. Yep.
So not exactly in the water at this point.
No.
Have you ever gone diving? Have you become like this avid diver because of all this?
Well, I have. I actually took a break from it, but I now, having written the book, I'm reinvigorated to get back in the water.
What did being 18 years old on the Calypso? Traveling around the waters of the world and spent time with the Cree Indians helping. I mean, you had this very unique experience that most 18-year-olds in 1973 just weren't having. Which, matter of fact, you're probably the only one that I know. How did this change, color, redirect, dissect, rebuild your way of seeing the world? How does that one summer colored itself in your life?
Well, I think it as I write in the book, it sort of infected me in a positive way with realizing I may never have that type of adventure or experience again, but always craving it. And I think at this point in my life, now I'm craving it even more. I've led a more conventional life in the business world, but now I'm looking forward to doing some new things, some new adventures, and I'm really always been passionate about the environment, so I'm looking forward to doing more in that field.
Listen, I got to give you hats off. As an author myself, this is not an easy thing to do, create a book, to take the notes and the thoughts and the words and the feelings you had. Let's just say it's been more than 10 summers since you did this.
Correct.
Fantastic cover. I keep continuing looking at the cover of this book of these dolphins on here. And just so wishing I got a chance to hang out like you did. Really well done. Fantastic piece of work.
Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate it.
Book is available at Amazon. It is called Frogmen, the true story of my journeys with Captain Jacques-Yves Cousteau and the good ship crew Calypso.